25 years on the PGA Tour and a lifetime member of the PGA Tour and PGA of America. Jay Delsing brings you his perspective on one of the world's greatest games as a professional golfer and network broadcaster. It's the game that connects the pros and the average Joes. Brought to you by Whitmore Country Club. Golf with Jay Delsing is now on 101 ESPN.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay Delsing. I'm here with my buddy, John Perlis. Perlis, good morning.
Good morning, Jay. I got the clubs in over the hour. I had decent dreams last night. I didn't lose your clubs. I'm ready to go. I'm just ready to go.
You're ready to go?
I am ready to go.
Let's go, then. Let's go. We have formatted the show like a round of golf. The first segment is called On the Range, and the On the Range segment is brought to you by our friends at Golf Discount. Golf Discount is where St. Louis shops for all its golfing needs. And then we have to do our social media because this is really important, and it's really important to me.
Really?
Yeah. I have a Twitter account. It's at Jay Delsing. Facebook is Golf with Jay Delsing, and Jay Delsing Golf. LinkedIn is Jay Delsing, and Instagram.
I don't know. Well, what's been blowing up lately? You keep saying something's been blowing up.
Yeah, for some reason, a bunch of people have been hitting me up on Twitter and following me on Twitter. I don't know if I got arrested or if I did something.
This is so embarrassing. I know Twitter because I hear Twitter.
Yeah.
But what does that mean? So they're saying things to you or they're just watching
they
your...
follow me, so they're waiting for me to say something.
Have you said anything?
No, not really. No.
Maybe tonight you'll say something.
Yeah, maybe I'll say something like, give me some Twitter love. Like, you know Twitter. Who do you love to follow on Twitter?
Oh, my goodness. There are so many good people on Twitter.
Who's the best follow?
Oh, like comedians, athletes, what do you want here?
Who's your guy?
You got a go-to? You got a sports go? Who's your sports go-to?
Locally, I love Danny Mac. He's always snarky. He's on top of everything.
Yeah,
the under the radar jabs that he can take.
Yeah.
But he's professional at all times.
Danny Mac is the bomb.
He's tremendous.
Love Danny Mac. How about out of the golf or sports world?
Oh gosh.
You got a little off-color one, Meat, that you don't want to tell anybody about? Like, I'm following that guy.
He's not going to give it up, I can tell.
I like some of the Barstool guys that cover golf.
Barstool Sports, yep.
I like the off-the-wall stuff. I don't follow as many golfers specifically.
Yeah, so forget golf. How about just, not even sports, you follow anybody outside of sports? Or just a comedian or any musicians or...
Yeah, one athlete I love is Alex Bregman with the Houston Astros.
Third baseman, he's a stud.
He's,
by the way,
he's at the top of his game.
Stud.
He's everywhere. Yeah, yep. he's honest, which I think is hard for a lot of athletes on social media because there's so much backlash.
Right.
But he just lets it fly. He gives his opinion all the time, and he can have fun with it too.
Right on. Okay, that's social media, Pearl. What do you think about that?
That's why I know exactly why I don't follow it right there.
Well, I mean, I see people take pictures of their food.
Yeah, exactly.
And they go, hey, I'm with John and Jay are going over to so-and-so bar, and we're with Meat, and we're going to – I mean, like, I don't want to tell anybody.
Well, I'm at the Walmart.
I'd rather go there and
just eat by myself.
Throw food at people and stuff.
I'm at the Walmart looking for peas and dragging my kids around here, and they talk about all that. Who cares?
Yeah, I'm going to eat my food, and I'll hang out and, you know, try to be anonymous. But anyway, all right, so –
get back on it here.
Yeah, let's general overview of the show. Pearl, we're going to go to – let's just go right now.
Justin.
We're
going
to go down to Justin. He's been a great source of fixing your golf game down at Golf Tech. So this is Justin Hoagland.
Thanks, Jay. The topic today is on how to effectively practice. At Golf Tech, we allow our students to practice using our technology, reviewing their swings, and developing skills of new movement on a weekly basis, along with taking weekly lessons, of course. Now, when golfers first come to us, they all say, I want to become more consistent. We hear that all the time. What I try to accomplish with them is how to develop that consistency over time and in a way that breaks down their flaws and creates lasting change through slow motion, attentive practice. And most of our listeners have perhaps heard of the four stages of what's called reflective competence. And let me just briefly mention that it's unconscious competence, means I don't know what I'm doing. Conscious competence, which means I know that I don't know. Conscious competence, which means I know what I know. That's the learning and effort phase. and unconscious competence means what I know becomes second nature. And that's what we're trying to get with our students. Our goal as instructors is really to coach you to become more self-studiers of your swing, helping you to make more to effectively change what it is we're trying to change. And the ball flight ultimately is what we're trying to change. So at Golf Tech, we really try to enhance that for our members. I would encourage everyone to look into us in how we can make your swing lasting through effective practice. Really what we call that is reflective competence and improving your practice skills along the way.
And Justin, thanks so much. Really great stuff. Well, we've got a couple additions of Whack and Chase.
Yeah, yep, we do.
We are, we are actually finding people are calling us and asking us about their golf game. We're having a little fun
They're
with
having
it.
Fun.
Yeah,
They're having fun.
Yeah. You know, there's some laughter
some
going
stories.
On. Yep, there sure is. So we got a couple of those coming up. We've got, we're going to talk about the FedEx Cup. We're going to clarify some of the stuff about the FedEx Cup. We're going to talk a little bit about the playoffs. If you don't know about the playoffs, we'll talk a little bit about that.
Because the FedEx Cup is what to follow. You mentioned a couple shows again.
Yeah.
You know, we've run out of the majors now.
Yeah.
But there's still a lot to pay attention to.
No,
even
no
if
doubt.
You're not a golf geek, it's fun to just kind of see who's on the bubble. And you're watching these guys putt for their financial lives and their futures. But it's so different. Instead of just like the last week of the year, which is what it was for forever, now it's kind of week after week. There's this elimination process that you're going to explain later.
Yeah.
But it's fun to see guys under pressure that's so immense. They start acting like I do and average golfers do.
Well, you know what's cool, Pearl, is next week I'm going to Jacksonville. I'm doing PGA Tour Live, and I've got the last tournament of the year before the FedEx Cup playoffs start. It's the Wyndham Championship.
So how many
down in
guys,
Greensboro.
I know we're going to get into this, but how many guys get into that final? So what are they vying for?
125 guys. If you make the top 125, you're basically splitting $60 million.
Amongst those 125.
Yeah.
But then those 125
and
is playing one more week and
we'll
you get some of those
that.
Are getting
yep.
cut. Right, you're going
right,
to talk
we'll
about
talk
that
about
later.
That.
Okay.
Yep, we'll talk about that. But most importantly, we've got a new date for our next Mike Duffy
Bingo.
Happy Hour.
Bingo.
Yep. So that's called, Pearl, just so you understand, you know, where I'm
Don't
throwing
Don't puff your
thing.
Chest out
yeah,
when you
oh,
tell
yeah,
me this.
I am. That's called a tease. Is that me? You were telling,
oh,
so you're
God.
Trying to help
you got
me.
It, yeah.
Oh,
that's perfect.
Called a tease. So
he's a radio
I'm
pro.
Teasing everybody right now. We're gonna have a
you're
little tease.
Me, all right.
Yeah, so we got our Mike Duffy saying that'll come in the 19th hole because Mike and his restaurant sponsor that. So, yeah, I've also got to talk. We're going to give a little recap. A few weeks back, we had my buddy Phil Frings on. He's the CEO of Logistics, but he also has that really cool racing team, and his wife is stricken with Alzheimer's, and they put the names of the folks on there. We're going to get a little update about what they're going through and how the racing team's done. And then we're also going to talk about a couple things that I'm almost certain most people don't know about, but one's called the Wyndham Top 10. And the other is called the Aon Risk Reward Challenge. So
it's amazing to me that there's that many cool things. I'm so glad you're going over there. There's so many cool things to just kind of pay attention to. If nothing else, to see how guys that are on the verge of doing something in those different avenues, how they react. It's just fun.
Yeah,
it's different.
And
I always tease you about guys. Pros don't like to have anything different. There's all kinds of changes and opportunities. It throws them off their regular pace of their game, and it's fun to see how they react.
Yeah, the other thing that we talked about a show ago or two was, these opposite field events. You know, there's these opportunities for guys playing professional golf right now are just outstanding. I mean, back in when I was playing and you were playing and stuff, it was like it's the PGA Tour nothing. Yeah. I mean, there's the Goosey Tour, there's the Golden State Tour, and those things were like a wing and a prayer. And do you remember, this is a fun story, do you remember sitting in a room down in some lousy...
There was about 2,000 nights, so
country
keep going.
Club
keep going.
Down in Florida and have J.C. Goosey stand in front of you, who the namesake of the tour that you and I were trying
I
to
remember.
Figure out how to play on. We just got out of college. There wasn't much for us to play in. We're going down and we're living in outside of Orlando in a little Kissimmee, Florida. And he said to us, I'll never forget this. He said, boys, just want you to make sure you're clear.
I know what you're going to say.
The leading money winner on this tour is me. J.C. Goosey.
Because he ran the tournament.
Because he ran the tournament. So y'all can play the best golf you can possibly play, but you're not going to make more money than me.
So here's two Midwest guys that played golf at UCLA, and we're down there playing in Florida, and we're playing the Bermuda.
Getting our ass handed to us
on the Bermuda
week in and week out on that Bermuda because you and I didn't know what in the hell to
all
do
I
with
knew
that Bermuda grass.
Sometimes I'd hit that putt in the Bermuda and it would go half as far as I thought. Another time I hit it in the Bermuda and it would go twice as far as I thought.
Yeah, it was something.
But you know what, Jay? Obviously the money mattered and we saw what the money was, but we played because we freaking love to play golf. And we wanted to be able to play on the tour someday.
Mate, and, I gotta and, tell and you Pearlie and I were renting a little house. It was we're not even going to go there. This was a house. All right, we'll just leave it at that.
It had a roof on it.
And inevitably, he'd be paired in the morning, and I'd be paired in the afternoon, so we'd see each other in the morning. We'd rendezvous back at this place at night, and we would sit down, and Pearlie was a beer guy, and I was not. So I was drinking water.
Oh,
nah.
Water?
Nah. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have Tito's in it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Close
maybe
enough.
A
something.
Little bit. Yeah.
It's
and we'd be talking, I mean, in the stories. I remember one time we I don't know, I think you played in the morning and I was playing in the afternoon. Second day, I'm like, hey, Pearl, how'd you do? You know, and you were like, I shot, 70, 71, which is, three under par. And I remember shooting like 68, 69. It was like seven under par. And I made like $320. Pearlie made like $180. And the guy that won was a guy named Dick Mast who beat, I was seven under par. He was what?
He shot 61, 62.
Yikes.
I'm like, somebody give me a ticket out of Florida.
I thought it was windy for 36 holes. I didn't play great.
Was that Orange Tree, bro?
Yes, Orange Tree, you bet.
Never forget.
And I certainly didn't play great, but I didn't play bad. I'm only 20 back. It was a 36-hole event.
And here's the deal, Meat. We had to put up, how much did those tournaments cost us?
I think 500, weren't they? 500.
Yeah, it seems like a lot, but maybe it was. I don't know. I tried to give myself the electrocardio shock treatment and get that out of my brain forever because it was such, I'm like, wait a minute, how are you guys beating us? And then we find out, these guys live for these events. Yeah. They don't even go anywhere else. Remember David Knipe? Do you remember the name David Knipe? This dude was like a kind of a fat, he was a good guy, but he was a good player, but he only played in like four courses.
You got played by a golf shark. Is that what you're saying?
Well, and they played that area. You're right, Meat. And there was a couple of them that made it out of there. I can remember Azinger played in some of those.
Yep.
He clearly made it out of there.
Yep.
Mast certainly did well on regular tour, decent, and then had a decent senior tour. But to your point, Jay, very few of the guys made it out of there. Just as we couldn't play the Bermuda, they couldn't play anywhere else.
They had four courses like, nope, that's out of our wheelhouse. We're not.
Right, I'll tell you what, who I did play down there with, which is very, very fond memories because I got to be a little bit friends and saw him through the years when I cared for you, was Kenny Perry. I played with Kenny. Kenny and I played, I think, our first professional tournament each.
No.
We played together at Cypress Creek. I made everything I looked at and hit every shot bad. Kenny hit every shot good.
and missed everything he looked at. He couldn't put in the ocean back in those
days.
And his
dad was caddying for him, as I think his dad did early in some of the tour events, and just got to be, I'm not pretending I'm best friends with Kenny, but it was fun
Very
through the
friends.
Years. He was always nice to come up and say hi and reminisce a little bit, and just one of those great guys on the tour.
And we are talking about a guy that's made over $40 million now playing golf, and he's got one shot, Meat, and it's a duck hook.
Yeah.
Or it's kind of a hook.
Well, it's pretty good.
It's a big hook.
He's also kind of a classic guy that kind of had some perspective. He was a family guy, and he wanted to work on his cars.
Yep.
He played golf so that he could raise a family and work on his cars.
Yep. He was also involved in his church a little bit, I think, he liked that aspect. And so, he is a good guy.
Nice to see him do well.
Yep. And he's also kicked a little tail on the Champions Tour as well, won the Senior Open and things like that. So, let me give a quick recap on Phil Frank's. Before we go to the front nine.
Well, give us an update. Remind us.
Yeah, Phil's a CEO and founder of Logistics, so they do that legal work and legal documents for law firms. He has a racing team, and the racing team is the letter R, the number 2, and endalz.org. So go to this website. It's a great website. It's just on it. Jim Nance has a great spot on there because, as we all know, Jim Nance's father was stricken with Alzheimer's. And that's why Jim Nance started all of his broadcasts with, Hello Friends because his dad was listening to him and wanted to know Friends but didn't know his own son's voice. Anyway, so Phil came on the show. The coolest thing is Phil has this opportunity. You could do it right on his website to get your name of your loved one, their birth date. They could be alive. They could have passed, whatever. You can memorialize them. It's just a way of really trying to bring some attention to this cause. So Phil's had, they've had three races since they've been on. And unfortunately, it hasn't been, it's not been awful, but it hasn't been great. They had one race, Phil told me, they're running first about midway through the race, and they slowed down because there was some sort of shenanigans going on with another car, and somebody ran them right off the road and crashed the car and broke something called their, like, rear suspension, which, you know, I'm not a car guy, so that pretty much took them out of the race. They didn't even get any points. And then he went to Toronto and finished sixth, and then they were ninth in Connecticut, and so they're currently 31 points out of first place with three races left. But more importantly, first of all, Phil Frings is a rock star. This guy is one cool dude, okay? And the other thing is they've got 60 names on the car. When we were doing our show, they had like 30.
Oh, that's great, Jay. That's
and their goal is 150. Anybody can put a name on there if this is important to them. It's like a $200 donation. It's tax deductible. It's a great cause. Praise, you know, the universe that you and I don't have anyone afflicted with this horrific illness. And but Phil's doing a and here's what, folks, why am I talking about Phil and why are we even talking about this on a golf show? Because this guy loves and supports golf, and he uses golf in any way he can to bring awareness to these causes, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And
creative guy.
Yeah, and
love
if
that.
We can and if we can help, you know, folks with this and bring more attention to his website. Again, it's the letter R, the number 2, ENDNALZ.org. And it's a cool website. And he's got his main driver is a guy named Nick Gallant. He was a 2016 champion. And if you're a race, you love racing, and you happen to want to look at that, they got some cool picks on there.
Nick's got to get 2016 back in his sights and have a great finish.
Right on.
Good.
Right on. So that's going to do it for the On the Range segment. Stay with us. This is Golf with Jay Delsing on 101 ESPN. Come back and we will jump to the front nine.
Doster, Olam & Boyle, LLC are a proud sponsor of Golf with Jay Delsing here on 101 ESPN. The firm was started in January 2015 by Mike Doster, Jess Olam, and John Boyle, three veterans of the St. Louis real estate, banking, commercial, and corporate legal landscape. The firm was founded on the shared view that success should be measured by client and community satisfaction, not profits for partner. The firm's focus is on business, real estate, corporate, finance and restructuring, and succession planning. Since its founding in 2015, Doster, Olam & Boyle have been involved in real estate, business, and corporate transactions with a combined value in excess of over $1 billion. For decades, Doster, Olam & Boyle lawyers have been recognized as leaders in their practice areas by their peers. Doster, Olam & Boyle, LLC. Extraordinary talent, ordinary people. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Golf Discount is where St. Louis has shopped for all of its golf equipment needs since 1976. There are two locations in town, one in South County just off of Lemay Ferry and one in O'Fallon at Highways K and N. Golf Discount is and always will be locally owned. They employ the most experienced golf staff you'll find anywhere in town. And if you're looking to get yourself some custom fit equipment, go to Golf Discount. They use the GC Quad Launch Monitor. This ensures you will always get the perfect fit you're looking for. Visit Golf Discount today. I want to thank Whitmore Country Club for sponsoring my show, Golf with Jay Delsing. There's 90 holes of golf at Whitmore. If you join out at Whitmore, you get privileges at the Missouri Bluffs, the Links of Dardenne, Golf Club of Wentzville, and all the cart fees are included in that membership. There's no food and beverage minimums and no assessments ever. They've got a great 24-hour fitness center, a large pool complex, three tennis courts, a year-round social calendar that is rocking out at Whitmore. There's kids clubs, junior golf, junior tennis, swim team available for your children. This is a family-friendly atmosphere, a wonderful staff, and you've got to go to the golf shop and visit my friend, Bummer. He is an absolute treat. Don't forget about the golf leagues, their skin games, members tournaments. Bummer and the staff out of Whitmore are continually running cool and fun golf events for you and your family. Visit their website at whitmoregolf.com.
You're listening to Golf with Jay Delsing on 101 ESPN. You can find Jay online at jdelsinggolf.com.
Welcome back. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. Jay and John are here to bring you this segment we call, the Front Nine. Please reach out to us with your questions, comments, requests at jay@jaydelsinggolf.com. Each week, if we read or select your email, we'll read it on air. The winner will receive golf for two at Gateway National Golf Club, compliments of Walters Golf Management.
Today's question is from Brad. Jay, I got to laugh at this question. You can tell he's pretty frustrated here.
Yep.
His question is, what the heck do I do when I have a downhill lie? Yeah. Period, exclamation point.
Right.
That's the question.
Okay, so Brad, first of all, thanks for the question. Second of all, as a general rule of thumb, try to get your shoulders matching up to the terrain that you're dealing with. So you got a downhill lie. I'm going to assume you're a right-handed golfer. Assuming that you're a right-handed golfer, you're going to have to get your left shoulder considerably lower than your right. John, it's one of the things, when we played on tour, we saw more good players screw this up than ever before.
I remember us screwing it up in particular.
Who?
I remember us. It was a team thing.
Me?
Even back then, there wasn't too many.
Are you saying I hit a bad shot?
There wasn't too many guys that looked at it as a team, but you and I did. I think that's why we got along so well. Now it's popular. They all say we or my team, whatever, but you and I did. Jay, what hole was that? It was at Tucson Nationals, a short par four, kind of downhill, slight dog leg left. 13th
yep.
hole. And I can remember
yep.
you'd hit that 5-wood, seemed like perfect. Every darn time you'd
yep.
have, I don't know, 110-ish, 120-ish, something like that in there from that.
But a downhill hanging lie. I remember this specifically and hit it all over the place.
Half the time wasn't on the green. And
yeah,
I can
no
remember
doubt.
After, I don't know, 8 years doing it, I said, hey, let's have a different plan here and
right.
talk about it. And that was kind of one of the starts of us planning those couple of shots or couple of holes that were so awkward. But we talked specifically about this.
And here's the deal. Downhill lie, ball moves forward. Moves for right-handed golfers, moves toward your left foot. Uphill lie, shoulders go reversed. Right shoulder lower than your left, ball back towards your right foot. Swing. Just swing after
but
that.
But stay with it and let the ball come out, quote, lower than your eye wants it to come out. The problem was, I think you would kind of get in there, be, you know, not parallel to the ground.
And try to help it.
In essence, help it up.
We
and dead.
Time.
Thinner fat,
yep.
and dead.
So appreciate you remembering that, bro. That's
dead.
Awesome. Was it dead?
Frustrating.
Dead. Brutal. Here's a birdie hole, and we're making bogeys.
God, that bag just got so heavy when we make bogey with the words in our hands. Anyway.
I can remember looking back at Pearlie going, oh, man, I feel like you were carrying like a Volkswagen every once in a while. And then on the other hand, like when we were down in Alabama and I had the best round I've ever played on tour, I couldn't even keep up with you.
Yeah.
He's like the lead dog in the pack. I'm like, Pearlie, throw me my putter. You know, you would be
so
like
much,
50
no,
yards
when,
ahead of me.
When you were rolling out, it was just so much fun to be in it. And you were rolling a lot. It was fun times. But yeah, really getting with that, the hill, the side hills, plugging into that type of stuff, being a little bit more fair to yourself on the expectations,
yep.
those all helped a lot. Okay,
well,
so back to answering Brad's question.
Yeah, no, that's what it is. And then you've got to get used to swinging. You've got to just get used to it. It's a different little feel. When you've got that downhill lie, your backswing is going to feel much more like a chop because with your left shoulder lower than your right, the club's going to get lifted up abruptly, but it needs to in order to swing down that.
It feels
that
abrupt,
grade.
Relative to
right.
speaking, but it's not abrupt
no.
to the slope.
That's... Otherwise, if you don't do that, you're going to naturally bottom out mm-hmm. a good solid foot behind the ball, and nobody wants to do
yep,
that.
That's exactly
nope.
right.
Nope. That's so, Brad, that mm-hmm. is the answer. Best of luck, and get back to us and
you
let
know
us
what,
know
Jay,
how that
a
works.
A lot of times at the end of ranges, you can find a severe uphill or downhill yep. lie. Go practice some of those on the range, too. Get a bit of a feel for it so that when you go on the course, it's not just this theoretical.
And, Pearl, even off the side of the putting green, You can get in there and just drop a couple balls if they allow chipping on that putting green and just feel that. And you will not believe how beautifully your club will move through the grass once you get your shoulders the way they're meant to be.
Yep, right on.
Yeah, very good. All right, so, hey, we are moving to
Whack and Chase.
Is this your favorite part of this show?
It is my favorite. It's just fun. It's fun to hear people's stories. It's fun to hear kind of where people's heads are at with things. I think we're starting to do a pretty good job asking questions, some kind of goofy, fun questions to kind of get them out of their shell. And we've put some nice episodes together.
Okay, cool. So we'll let the people have their own opinions about our nice episodes. So we've modeled this idea after the popular show Car Talk, and we call it Whack and Chase. So let's go over to Whack and Chase right now.
All right, fellas, the people are loving Whack and Chase. Christo is this week's caller on the line right now.
Hey, Christo, how are you?
Very good. How are you guys doing today?
Great, Christo. Hey, thanks so much for calling into Whack and Chase.
Where are you from, Christo?
From Effingham, Illinois.
Effingham, Illinois. We
keep getting calls from Effingham, Illinois. Man, we are big over there. We got to be big somewhere.
Exactly. Well, Christo, what's your question today? What are you kind of looking for Jay for us to diagnose and Jay to solve?
Yeah, what can we help you? What's the most pressing thing you'd like help with your golf game?
So right now, with my putting game, I tend to have a case of the yips. I have tried everything from changing my putter grip, trying to get a longer shaft on my putter, everything, but I can't seem to shake them from, 3-foot putts. They keep going around the hole.
So no pun intended, shake the yips. Is that what you're trying to do here?
Yeah, I'm trying, exactly, shake the yips.
Have you tried Jack Daniels?
I have not tried that, but that might be good medication.
Well, we'll leave that for plan B.
But are you thinking the night before with the Jack Daniels, Jay, or the day of, or
during?
I'm
thinking during and the day of.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
like
sometimes
thinking
that over the night before, you kind of put you in a place where you don't really care about
really?
Anything. You're just trying
I've
to stand
never
up.
Felt like that.
Yeah.
But, well, wait
you
a second.
Remember back in the college days when we'd go play with my father about 6 o'clock in the morning at PV?
Oh, yeah, and still having like a stamp on our hand from
from whatever
like what is
coastal
that
bar we're in.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so, Christo, give us a little background, bud. Give us what's your handicap? How tall are you? Just give us some things that we can hang our hat on over here.
Gotcha, yeah.
Handicap and how tall he is, that's pretty random. Anyway, that leaves it wide open for you, Christo. You could talk about, like, your elementary school teacher, and you would be in the realm of what we just asked you.
Well, we want to keep it vague over here. Well, we're not, I don't know how much you listen to the show, Christo, but we screw up our facts, and we're somewhere in the ballpark on some things, but not all of them.
Right.
So give you an idea on my physique. I'm 5'11". I have a dad bod. So not super fit, but not unfit, I would say. I'm a 10, probably 10, 11 handicap, hit the ball decent. My driver and irons are good. It's really the putter that holds me back.
That's good. How long have you been playing? So, have you been playing golf most of your life, and are you an athletic guy? Did you play other sports?
Yes, I like to consider myself athletic. I don't know if other people consider me athletic.
Are you married, Christo?
I am, yes.
Does your wife consider you athletic?
Yes, but that's probably because she is not an athlete at all.
Hang on to this one.
Hopefully she's not listening.
Good one.
That's very good.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So I mean, the one thing that, I've been trying the claw recently as opposed to just your typical putter grip, and that's helped slightly, but I feel like I've lost the touch, getting the ball. It's either way past or way short with that.
So, Crystal, are you having the yips on 30, 40-foot putts as well?
From 30 or 40-foot, I don't even think I can really, get it with him. I'm typically getting it maybe 5 feet. I'm getting it close to 5 foot to the hole, so I'm not getting it super close, so I don't even know if I can consider saying I'm getting the yips from there. It's mostly I start to feel it when I'm, within five foot of the hole.
Is it all the time, or just when are you playing tournaments or playing a Nassau with your buddies? Do you, if you're out there in the evening just putting around or playing nine by yourself or something, do you yip it then or just when it matters?
Yeah, so you know when I'm hitting for double bogey, no, I don't usually have it. It's usually I'm going for par and especially birdies.
Okay, so it's only a yip when it matters.
Exactly.
That's
yep.
a big clue. That's a big clue.
It absolutely is. And so, how long has this been going on?
It has never been a part of my golf, or never not been a part of my golf.
Oh, really?
Well, my hat is off to you for hanging in there, yeah. man. That is not a fun thing.
Now, when you're playing other sports, Let's say you're shooting hoop, or you're playing, I don't know, a tennis or something like that. Do you find yourself yipping in those sports too?
No, I don't think so. And I don't know if it's just the fact that golf is more of a head game. You know, you're not just. You know, with tennis, you know, I play pickleball, actually. And with pickleball, you know, you're just kind of reacting to the ball. And so you're not really having to think much. And I don't know if it's just the in between the ears that's affecting
you. Oh, there's no question there's a little between the ears. So how much of a freak out do you have before you even, like, when does the anxiety start hitting you other than when you get to the golf course in the morning? Because I'm sure it's like in the back of your mind. But when does that anxiety and the palms start sweaty? When does that start happening when you're on the putting green? I mean, as soon as you're in this occasion, or when you've already, say you hit a nice shot up there, and, oh, man, I got this three-footer for birdie, and already you're thinking, oh, hell, I can't make this thing.
Right. I would say that it's probably when I'm taking my practice swings on the green. So, you know, I've read it. I think I know where it's going to go, but I'm not feeling it then. But I say right when I step over the top of the ball. That's typically when it starts to.
So it's kind of interesting. Kind of interesting if you think about it. You hit the shot, you walk up there, you're kind of excited, you read it, you go through everything, you're ready to go, and then you go, "Oh yeah, I got the yips." Is that basically how it goes?
That's exactly how it goes.
Oh, dude, I'm thinking he should run up and hit it like super fast before he has time.
Like Chevy and Fanana and
Kedisha. He's definitely a Fanana guy.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
I say
a way to
you
practice
walk,
for sure.
You read the green when you're walking up from like 10 or 15 yards. You look at the other guys and say, "I'm putting out."
Yeah. Well, the nice thing is, Christo, they changed rules of golf for you, so you don't even have to take the flag out. You can just kind of smash that thing.
He just walks and goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, here's what I'm going to say.
Jay's edging this to solve this thing.
There's nothing I'm going to say. Okay. No. If there's, first of all, let me ask you another question. What's worse, the anxiety that you're going to have the yips or missing the putt? No, because I've had the yips before. And what happened, the mental crapola that I put myself through, and for me, Chris, so it would happen on my way to the course. I'd be like, I do not want to putt. I hate putting. And I love to putt, but when I've been in that mode, I'm like, oh, man, you just almost can't hit it close enough. You know, so what's worse? Are you running through this whole movie in your head about, oh, man, I got the yips before you hit the putt?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great question. That's really hard to answer. I'd say, you know, it happens both ways, but I would say that, you know, whenever I have if I put the ball within 5 foot and I have a birdie opportunity, I know when I'm riding in the cart up to the green
that
I have the yips and this is likely going to get really close, but probably not drop.
Okay, so I got a question. I got another question for you. Stand up right now. You're right-handed, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, Chris, so basically right hand, jumpy on the putter, or left hand? I'm assuming right hand.
Will you repeat that?
Right hand, or is it your right hand or your left hand? It gets jumpy on the putter as you come through. Like where?
I think it's my left hand.
I think he's thinking it's his brain, and you're talking about left hand and right hand.
Yeah, no. Well, there's a couple components to this, okay? Because I'm assuming, you know, most people from FBM aren't completely certifiable and crazy other than maybe you, right, Pearly? No, so here's what I'm going to say. I'm 99% convinced that the yips, Christo, are all created out of aiming poorly. So what I mean by that is, your putter is not aimed where you want it to be aimed.
I agree with this.
And what happens is your brain knows where you want this ball to go. And the only way you have a chance of making this thing is to make some sort of strange, weird opening. I'm assuming it's opening. Typically, it's opening of the putter
It's like a subconscious move to correct
right.
the putter face.
Right, it absolutely is. And so what I want you to do, if it's your left hand or right hand that gives you the trouble, stand up right now and mimic a putting motion, and you can move your hands through that area, and it won't flinch. I'm 100% sure of that. What happens is you get a ball down in front of you, then you get a putter in your hand, and all of a sudden you have this, oh, man, I'm playing an old tape that says, I got the yips. Mm-hmm. So the first thing I would do is I would go on the putting green and I would get a Sharpie line on my ball. So have you seen those lines on your ball that you can get, Christo, that you can?
Yep.
Okay, so do that, but do not in any way, shape, or form putt towards a hole. Just all I want you to do, I don't want you to have the fear of making or missing the putt. I want you to just roll this ball. Okay.
Okay.
But the reason why the line's going to twofold, bud, it's going to make you line the. What, do you have an arrow or a dot or something on the top of your putter to help you with aim?
Yep, an arrow or a line. Yeah.
Cool. So you match those two lines up, and the first thing you're going to notice is that doesn't look right when you match them up. I promise you, I'd say you got an 85% chance of aiming too far left. I have seen people with the yips aim too far right. But not very often. Typically, it's too far left, so you're too open. But whichever it is, when you line that putter and that line on that ball up, and you look at that relationship of the putter and the ball, you're gonna go, what?
No way.
You're gonna go, this is a whole new world. And what we want for you, bud, is a whole new world, because the old world you're living in sucks, right? The old world of that putter sucks. And so, what I want you to do, it could be that easy. And you could start rolling the ball great immediately, okay? If you don't, and you may not, then I want you to try a couple of things. First of all, check your grip pressure in your putter. I'm also going to bet Pearly a dollar that you are squeezing the living tar out of that putter grip. I bet it is, especially as you get a little more conscious of these yips. I want you to test that, and if 10 is a white knuckle and as hard as you can grab it, and a 1 is this putter's going to fall out of my hand, I want you to go at like a 3 or 4.
Okay, wow.
The first thing that's going to do for you, Christo, it's going to relax all these muscles that are so tense.
Get some dynamic
and
in that
so
stroke.
So tight.
Yep.
And I want you to swing that putter head with no ball in the way and just watch it swing. Okay, and watch it swing. And then the next thing you're going to have to do is try to hit some putts with your eyes closed, or hit some putts looking at the hole and actually hit putts. Hit contact. Mm-hmm. You will not yip.
Spieth was putting maybe the best of anybody in the world, and he was doing that for a while. So
no question.
That's a very legitimate thing. The other thing to remember is our brains can only hold one thought at a time. So your thought is something like smooth, ice, cool, whatever. You don't let yip come into your mindset. So as soon as you hit that shot close to the hole, all you're thinking is smooth, 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 or whatever makes you feel good, and then do all the other things Jay said. And like you said, we're 99% sure. So if you're that 1%er, Christo,
don't ever call us back.
I don't know what to say to you.
But the other thing is, if you're standing over the putt and you get those thoughts, run over to a golf cart and get a wedge. And I thought you'd say
run over and get a beer.
Get two beers. You have two hands. So that's why you have two hands. And Christo, grab your wedge, and I want you to. I would much prefer. Yeah. You to try to belly this thing with a wedge than try to hit those putts with the yips in your brain. You'll get a wedge in your hand and go, all of a sudden I don't yip. Because you'll be so focused on trying to hit that ball solidly that the yip's going to be
And if you can remember all this stuff, you're golden.
Good luck
to
you.
Nothing else. We change the music in your head. That's what we're after here. Thanks a lot, Crystal. Hope you like that. Does that sound like something you can do?
No, it certainly does. You know, I am a little disappointed. I was hoping for just free advice. Now I'm going to have to go buy one of those line things for my ball. But I think it'll be well worth it. So I do appreciate it, guys.
Actually, you don't have to. You can just freehand the line on there. You only need it about an inch long. And it's
if it's a little wobbly, who cares if it's a little squiggly?
I have the yips. Don't you know I can't draw straight
lines? You have the yips with your marker. Uh-oh. That's for a different show.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks for calling in, Christo. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Well, Christo, that was phenomenal. Thanks for calling in. Pearl, that was fun.
That's why we're doing Whack and Chase right there. That was just to get a story or two, have some fun. Christo had some fun with it. I really appreciated his time and energy.
You could tell that Christo had a serious mental
that's too bad.
Mind bender going on.
Because here's a guy hitting good drives, you said, good iron shots, and then just you get into that funk.
but the advice that you gave him
yep.
is right, and yep. and it could really help him enjoy golf that much more.
Yep, we hope it does. Well, that's going to wrap up the front nine. We're going to pause for a moment so you can hear a couple of messages from the folks that sponsor us here at Golf with Jay Delsing on 101 ESPN.
Quick note, we just got a call from our friend Joe Schieser at USA Mortgage. He said the rates are still below 4%, and if you mention Golf with Jay Delsing, he'll give you a discount on your closing costs. Please call him today at 314-628-2015.
Are you looking for a golf training facility and PGA pros to help you out year-round? Make sure you get to Golf Tech. They've been in St. Louis since 2007 and have three convenient locations to serve you. They've got state-of-the-art video equipment, and you can take your lesson home with you and replay it as much as you'd like. Start with a golf swing evaluation for only $125 and let a Golf Tech coach customize a game plan for you. 314-721-GOLF. You can find them online as well, golftech.com-St. Louis. Play better. Swing better. Golf Tech.
After 25 years on the PGA Tour, Jay Delsing takes you behind the scenes from the eyes of a pro. Now back to more golf with Jay Delsing on 101 ESPN.
Welcome back to Golf with Jay Delsing. This is Jay Delsing. Got my buddy Pearly here with me, and we are on the back nine. Pearly, and I got to thank Whitmore Country Club for being the title sponsor of our show. Man, I feel like we know these guys well. 90 holes of golf at Whitmore. If you join Whitmore, you get privileges at the Missouri Bluffs, the Links of Dardenne, and the Golf Club of Wentzville. The card fees are included in that membership. And 90 holes of golf, that's a lot of golf. No food or beverage minimums, no assessments, 24-hour fitness center, large pool complex, tennis courts. They got some great social calendars out there. Their holiday parties are rocking out there. There's picnics, date nights, live music. There's a kids club, which is becoming so popular with the country clubs around the country, where you can come, drop your kids off. You and your wife, you and your girlfriend, whomever, can go play a little golf, go have a nice dinner. The kids get to go play with other kids, go swimming, play golf, whatever the kids want to do. There's also junior golf, junior tennis, swim teams available for the kids. It's basically all about the family out of Whitmore. It's all about the family.
Plus, Jay, if you want to learn how to play golf and you're playing a bunch of different golf courses, that helps a lot.
Nah, no doubt about it. And then we got to talk about Bummer, our boy Bummer. We got to get Bummer back on the show. Great guy. He's in the golf shop. He's the assistant pro. He is terrific. He'll tell you about the golf leagues, the skins games, the member tournaments, and things like that. But go to call Whitmore at 636-926-9622. Whitmore's been great, and we appreciate their support. Let's go back. We got another version of Whack and Chase.
You guys are going to have to pay for some long-distance rates. A call all the way from Dallas for Whack and Chase.
Hey, Patrick, thanks for joining us. Dallas, Texas, huh?
Well, yeah, it's a little bit hotter than where you guys are, isn't it?
Yeah, hey, really appreciate you calling in. Thanks for joining us.
Patrick, what's your question for Jay? Where do you need the most help in your golf game?
Well, you probably get this question quite a bit, but I would say, hitting from the top and then coming over the top. I mean, that's definitely my biggest problem, without question.
So tell us a little bit about what's your handicap and a little bit about your golf game so Jay can kind of get a feel for kind of what level you're at.
My handicap, probably about a 20. I've been playing for 3 or 4 years. Picked it up just to meet people at the local club. And
how's that going? Have you met anybody fun?
I have. I've met a lot of people.
Right
yeah.
on. There's a lot of fun to be had on the golf course, right?
There is. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, where do you go from there, Jay? So he's
so you shoot it. So are we talking predominantly, Patrick, about tee shots? Your driver,
yeah, I mean,
or is it basically you have this sense that you're kind of throwing the club from the top, you know, with everything in the bag?
Everything. It's worse with the driver, but yeah, every
okay.
shot.
So just real briefly then, give us a hint of what the ball is doing. High, low, fade, pull, slice, what's happening?
Well, I wish it did the same thing every time.
So what'd you call that, Jay? Hang on one second, Patrick. Jay had a name for that. When I'd caddy for him on the tour,
and we'd have one of these guys, not like you, that said they're, you know, an 8 handicap, and after about 5 holes, the guy showed us every shot in the book except for the one that went near the hole. What'd you call that, Jay?
We'd call it that he had it stuck on wide spray with his
egg beater, baby. You remember egg beater?
Right. I was gonna get to that. We'd have it on wide spray. You know how you have that little nozzle on your little spray can where you can focus your little pinpoint thing, and then the other one goes like in all directions, and then you know that's basically kind of what an egg beater does. Although an egg beater does, however, shoot one straight every once in a while.
Well, so is a clock right once in a while. But yeah, tell us a little bit more about yourself. Are you an athletic guy? Are you currently in shape? How much golf are you playing? Tell us a little bit about where you stand right now.
Yeah, I probably have an athletic build. I lift weights and whatnot, but I probably play 9 holes really once a week, if that. No more than that.
What sports? What sports have you played in the past, Patrick?
Mostly just running. I was a runner. Nothing with a bat or a swing, which I imagine is part of my problem.
Well, so that's interesting. That's really tough to take on this challenge. How old are you? Ballpark, if you don't like to share your age. But how old are you?
I'm 34.
So you go all these years and you didn't really play kind of a bat and ball type of sport before, and then you jump into it. So I think that's absolutely awesome.
Yeah,
that's
there's
good
no
stuff.
Question that
and
we
a 20
can...
handicap. You should be proud of that.
Yeah,
I think
right on.
I
got to tell you, Patrick. I don't know if you know this or not, but 1% of all the people that play golf can break 100.
Is that
I mean,
right?
Break 80. Sorry, can break 80. 1% of all the people can break 80. So the fact that you know where you're playing is very very good. And then after this solve on Whack and Chase, we're talking about
you'll be a 21.
You'll be a 25 or not. So no.
So have you taken any lessons, Patrick, or how do you even go about it when you get out there?
Well,
and Patrick, how's your equipment? How up to date are you on your equipment?
I had purchased new clubs a couple years ago. My driver is actually a loaner from my father who plays. But other than that, I mean, my irons are, you know, a few years old.
Okay.
And do you take lessons, or how did you learn the game to this point?
Well, I just kind of went out there and started swinging the club.
Yeah.
Really?
Right on.
That's awesome. Well, you like that, Jay, because you kind of want it to be bat and ball. Just go play.
No, I do like that because that starts your authentic swing in motion. And the thing is, when you start and you're 10 or 12 years old, Patrick, and you've watched, you know, Tiger Woods play on TV and things like that, it's one thing. When you start, you said you're 34, you've been playing a few years, so you start at 27 to 30, your body is you have all sorts of already preconceived ideas in there that you can't, you know, physically do.
So what's the best shot you've ever hit in golf?
Oh, I mean, every once in a while I'll hit an iron.
No, Patrick, we want to know the best shot you've ever hit. Have you ever made one from off the green or made a long putt? Tell us about it.
I have hit a hole in one.
Okay, so I want to know what your face looked like. Were you like, holy, how did that happen? I mean, get the surprise look off my face, or did you just pass out right on the tee?
No, I was actually playing with my dad, and we were the only people on the course, it seemed like, except they paired us with this other guy. So he was there, and he was taking photos. I mean, he was more excited than we were.
That's awesome. But,
that is awesome. Incredible.
How long was the hole, and what iron did you hit, or what club did you hit?
Oh, my gosh. It was like 135, probably, and I hit an 8-iron.
Good
I remember
for you.
That.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
So what's the best sports event other than your hole-in-one that you've ever been involved in or just pops to your head? Maybe you weren't involved in it, but you just got to watch it.
Oh, wow. Man, that's a really good question. That put me on the spot.
I like to throw these people off a little bit, Jay. Jay's over on the ground gasping for air laughing over
Patrick,
here.
Patrick, I'm thinking it's a damn good question, too, because I'm trying to get back to the microphone. That's good. That is really good.
Well, no, I want to get a sense of what's going on here. First of all, think about it. Patrick was struggling to remember the best shot he ever hit. Then he says, oh, yeah, I got a hole in one. So I'm like,
I agree.
No, this question, that was easy.
Right.
This one is a little harder, but
right.
Not that much harder.
No.
So kind of, so dig into any sport that you can remember. What kind of pops out in your head that it was just a really great sport thing you were involved in or that you get to see?
I saw Butler play Duke for the national championship in person.
I remember that game.
In person. Good for you.
In person, yeah.
Good for
you.
Yeah,
that last shot was amazing. It just rimmed out.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That was definitely a great basketball. NCAA finals are always fantastic. Okay, so Jay, what else do you need to know from Patrick to get to a solve here?
No, nothing. I've already got something. I think it's really, really going to help him. Should we go ahead and?
I think you go to solve. I think he's ready.
Patrick, I got to tell you, the thing that you've got to do is incorporate your lower body. How far do you typically hit a drive? You said you're an athletic build. How far do you typically hit a drive?
Typically to 200. I mean, yeah.
And that doesn't. How does that grab you? How does that make you feel?
Not good.
Yeah,
really
not
bad.
So good. So, Patrick, what we've got to do is incorporate your lower body into this golf swing. Okay, we've got to get you using the bigger muscles from your shoulders through your knees, the core part of your body. We got to get your quads in there. We've got to get you turning through there. And when you throw or swing from the top too much, it typically comes with like a reverse pivot, meaning when you come through the ball, I bet you're going to feel like your left hip almost goes backwards when you come down through there, and you wind up kind of with a lot of weight on your right side and kind of behind the ball. What I want you to do is Google or YouTube either Rory McIlroy or Tiger Woods hitting a driver and watch their lower body. And one of my favorites, and you could do this as well, is Sam Snead, an old sequential shot of Sam Snead. So, Patrick, check this out. Sam Snead had a gorgeous swing. He's still the record holder for the most number of wins on the PGA Tour at 82. That's going to be surpassed by Tiger Woods eventually. But anyway, so by the time that he got – oh, sorry. I had a little momentary senior moment here. So when Sam Snead was winding up and his backswing, his – hips started moving through the ball, and he would still have seven more frames on this video of his club going backwards. So what he was doing, Patrick, was building up a dynamic. Okay. Your swing, I know your swing has no dynamic. Everything is getting thrown from the top and thrown right at the ball, and your hips are just kind of staying in place, I'm imagining. Does that seem familiar?
Absolutely.
Okay, bud, so what I want you to do is there's a couple things. You have the step drill, so you can start with any club in your bag, but start with like a 7-iron. Put your feet together and the ball in between your left and right foot, so the ball's going to be there. And on your backswing, start making your backswing, and when the club gets to waist high on your backswing, start taking a step to your left with your left foot. It's going to be so weird. But basically, it's going to be getting your hips engaged early, early, early in this swing.
That builds up the dynamic, causes that torque that you need. And to Jay's point, when you see the pictures of those guys he just talked about on the video, you will see that their belt buckles almost pointing at the target before they make contact. That's where you build up that torque and all that power, right, Jay?
It's that simple. Patrick, it's that simple. Plug into those videos. It'll literally take you a minute, and then go out there and work on what we call the step drill, and then soften the hell out of your hands, wrists, and arms. Soften those up so that those hands, wrists, and arms can do whatever the hell they want to do coming through the ball. And look, you're going to be a 10 handicap before you know it.
Maybe a 5.
Well, thanks, Patrick. Appreciate you being a good sport. Thanks for the great stories and good luck with
and nice hole in one, Patrick.
Yeah,
what the?
Hey, there's a lot of players that are single digit, play their whole life to never get one. So congratulations on that. That's a big deal. Way to go, and it had to be extra fun doing it with your dad.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, guys.
See you, Patrick. Bye bye.
See you, Patrick. Well, thanks to Patrick for calling in. That was fun. And Patrick, hole-in-one with his dad.
It's so funny. When I asked him the question, what's the best like golf thing that ever happened?
Like,
he didn't remember.
No, he was like, oh, yeah, I made a hole-in-one. I mean, come on. That's great stuff. Well, that's going to wrap up the back nine. We'll be headed into the 19th hole after these messages. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. Come back. Pearlie and I are here on 101 ESPN.
Urban Chestnut Brewing Company is proud to be an official sponsor of 101 ESPN's newest show, Golf with our friend Jay Delsing. Just like Jay, Urban Chestnut is born right here in St. Louis. With three local brewing and restaurant locations, you won't travel far to sample straight from the source. If you're heading out to the links this weekend, or if you're just in the mood for a classic German-style beer, grab a four-pack of our fresh, refreshing Zwickel Bavarian Lager wherever craft beers are sold. Urban Chestnut Brewing Company, St. Louis, Missouri. Prost!
Golf Discount is where St. Louis has shopped for all of its golf equipment needs since 1976. There are two locations in town, one in South County just off of Lemay Ferry, and one in O'Fallon at Highways K and N. Golf Discount is, and always will be, locally owned. They employ the most experienced golf staff you'll find anywhere in town. And if you're looking to get yourself some custom fit equipment, go to Golf Discount. They use the GC Quad Launch Monitor. This ensures you will always get the perfect fit you're looking for. Visit Golf Discount today.
It's time for the 19th hole on Golf with Jay Delsing. The 19th hole is brought to you by Mike Duffy's Pub and Grill.
Mike Duffy's Pub and Grill, the best burgers in town since 1986. Mike Duffy's Pub and Grill, the best burgers in town since 1986.
Well, thanks for staying with us. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. We've just finished 18 holes, and we are on the 19th hole. I'm your host, Jay Delsing. Got my buddy Perley, John Perlis, here with us. And Perley, we've got our buddy Mike Duffy, the official sponsor of our 19th hole. We've got our second date arranged to go to the Richmond Heights store on August 23rd from 5 to 7 or later. You and I have been known
to stay a little longer.
A little longer, but we are going to have some games this time.
My father always used to tell me, leave when the party's still going strong. Don't wait to the end. My wife never wants to do that. I always want to do that.
You always want to leave while the party's going strong?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, my God. I want to go. I know you do. I want to help people like pick up all the stuff that's left on the floor or maybe eat some of it. Oh, you're no kidding. Yeah. Oh, man. That's hard to believe that we got along as well as we have with those kind of...
Yeah, because I also have the two-minute warning in effect. When I'm tired, two-minute warning. My buddy,
you're awful. You can fall asleep standing up.
Well, a buddy of mine from Michigan told me this, high school buddy, Alan, really, really great guy, and he would call a two-minute warning. And he wouldn't be mad or anything, but he would just say to his wife, 2 minutes. That means within 2 minutes, he's going to be sleeping somewhere. If she said, hey, I'm having a good time, we're not leaving, he's looking for a closet.
Go to the closet.
And he would just lay down and go to sleep, and she would have to find him like an hour later, try to get him up or drag him out to the car, and it worked out good. I like that. That was a good attitude,
I
thought.
Hey, this next Mike Duffy's, we might have a live kind of a spontaneous whack and chase. We don't know what we're going to have, but I will promise you we're going to have some games. We're going to have some giveaways.
What's one of the games you were talking about?
Well, there's this beer pong golf chipping game that I bought that – it's going to be fun.
Explain it a little bit.
So you got to chip the balls into these little areas, and if you chip it into this area, you get, I'll buy you a beer.
Okay,
And if you don't, I'll buy you two beers.
Okay,
you got to try to figure that out. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the FedEx Cup.
Okay.
One of the coolest things about being a modern-day tour player is, okay, so let me ask you this. I know you follow golf. Mm-hmm. I know you may or may not know about the FedEx Cup. Do you have any idea what the total spend is for FedEx on the FedEx Cup with the PGA Tour? This is just this purse. I'm not talking about
so what's
ads
the playoff and stuff
like
and stuff you're talking
what
about?
So if you are involved as a PGA Tour player in the FedEx Cup,
how much you playing for? Not a clue. I have no clue, Jay.
Take a guess and then double it.
$5 million.
And you doubled it?
Oh no, I'm sorry. I know they win 10 at the end, so sorry. $20 million.
$60 million.
Wow.
$60 million. The winner of the FedEx Cup this year gets $15
million. I remember when it was 10, which is an unbelievable number. Now it's 15.
Unbelievable.
Yikes.
But the party doesn't end there. I know you like to go home a little early, so you might miss the fact that there's the Wyndham Top 10. Do you know what the Wyndham Top 10 is?
So what's the Wyndham Top 10? Yeah, no, I don't know what it is.
It is a deal that Wyndham Hotels, who actually is a title sponsor for the last event before the FedEx Cup playoffs start, down at Sedgefield, down in Greensboro. Okay. Cool course, cool tournament, great history in Greensboro. They throw in $10 million for the top 10 people in the FedEx Cup standings to split.
the top 10 finishers in FedEx or at the time of their tournament?
No, top 10 finishers.
Wow.
So that means you win the FedEx Cup and you get 15. Wyndham here, over here is going to throw you 2. If you just happen to, you strayed into the 10th place spot for the FedEx Cup, you get $500,000.
And how much from Wyndham?
No, $500,000 from Wyndham. Oh, that's not
and
even
how much from FedEx.
That's not. I gotta look for my
probably
info,
another million or
no,
2 million.
No, I got it.
Something.
Oh, it's huge money. Jeez. And I've got it. I've got it right here somewhere.
So Jay, how do you even relate to that from when you played?
Well,
by the
I
way,
can't.
You didn't play that many years ago, and
no.
Those numbers were nowhere near the vicinity. I remember it used to be exciting when there was a car for a hole in one, and the car was worth about $9,250.
Oh, exactly. And then you didn't get it because if you didn't make it on Sunday. So you asked me how much money is 10th place worth in the FedEx Cup?
Yeah.
$900,000.
And then he went another $500,000 from Wyndham.
Yep. And he went another $500,000 from
Wyndham. That's a pretty good year right there.
Yeah. And then we're not finished with all the fun.
What else is there?
Aon, which is a phenomenal company. I've known some top executives. The Donnie brothers, Tim and Tom Donnie, are great friends of mine, great supporters of the game of golf. Love the Evans Scholarship Foundation. Aon is a risk management insurance company. So they figured this out. They've donated $1 million on the LPGA and the PGA tours. They've designated 65 holes throughout the year. They're going to compile everybody's score. Whoever scores the lowest on those 65 holes will get $1 million.
65 holes. So do we know what those holes are?
Yeah.
Can you look it up somewhere?
Oh, okay. Yeah, for sure.
And
for
it's
sure.
Just random holes throughout
the
year.
Because they want the strategy, or our favorite President Bush, the strategery of the whole thing involved. So we're going to have some strategery, and then you got to figure out the odds, and you got to do all that. And you're going to get $1 million.
What if you don't play all those holes? What if you don't make the cut?
Not make the cut.
What if you didn't get in the tournament? Then you're out?
Well, yeah, you don't.
You
don't
have to qualify.
Well,
I mean, that's kind of interesting. Think about it.
I know.
Somebody could be
no question.
Kicking everybody's button and not play one of the holes.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's got to be a minimum. There's got to be a minimum number of. Anyway, the bottom line is, what a great deal to be a PGA Tour player right now.
Incredible.
Come on.
Incredible.
It's fantastic.
Yep.
Man, where the hell did this show go? This show just flew by. It was really fun. Pearly, thank you for being with me again.
Loved it, Jay.
This was a great show. Meet, man, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how we do it. I don't even know if we're doing it, but we are doing it. It's Golf with Jay Delsing. We appreciate you listening. And hit them straight, St. Louis.
That was Golf with Jay Delsing, brought to you by Whitmore Country Club. Tune in next Sunday for more from Jay, John, and the other pros and experts from the golf world. In the meantime, you can find all of Jay's shows at 101ESPN.com, as well as at jdelsinggolf.com.